you, Mike, for your thoughts on Lord's Supper, for reminding us what our Savior has done for us. This week I was explaining what I was going to speak about to Allison, and she gave me a blank look, and she said, "You're not going to speak about mothers? It's Mother's Day." I said, "No. Mothers are sick and tired of hearing about how great they are." So I was convinced, like Carson was convinced, that we need to speak about mothers today. However, in that reading today, I do know that Allison is not scared of snow. She just really, really hates it. If I were to ask you who the mother of the human race was, what would your answer be? Before this lesson, I would have pulled you Eve. But to say I stand before you and I've changed my mind, and I now believe it is God. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, God breathed into Adam's nostrils, and he became a living soul. And boom! Man was created. But God saw that Adam was incomplete. And in Genesis chapter 2, verses 21, God caused Adam to fall asleep. While sleeping, he took one of Adam's ribs, then closed up the flesh, and in verse 22, he took that rib and made Eve from it. Not only does this show us some insight on how God made women, it also shows us that God only made two genders. It can also possibly explain man's love for barbecue ribs. Oh, see? It said right here, pause for laughter. I got some. I believe this also explains the gift that God gave us in mothers. How do you explain where mothers learn to be comforters, caretakers, good advice givers, patient, forgiving, protectors? And if you think a mother is not a protector, just mess with one of her kids. Mothers tend to have more faith. Mothers tend to look on the bright side. Mothers know how to make lemonade out of lemons. And over my short time here on earth, I've also noticed that mothers are excellent prayer givers. In Hebrews, we read of all of these people who have had great faith. I think it's important to look at these men, but it's also important to remember what the Bible says about these men's mothers. I also find it interesting that in this chapter that only one woman is mentioned, and her name is Rahab. And any of you who have read this chapter and have read in the Old Testament about Rahab and what her profession was, you would be just like me and think that she is one of the most unlikely people to have faith and to be mentioned as a good character in Hebrews chapter 11. The other mother I think about in this chapter is the mother of Samuel. This mom shows us the mind of God in human form. How, you may ask? Well, she does what every mother does. She sacrificed. She wanted a baby so badly, she was willing to give it to God and let a prophet tutor her child and raise him. What mother would sacrifice to do such a thing? I think the greatest thing God gave mothers is the mind Let me start this over. I think the greatest thing God gave mothers the mind to do is sacrifice. You know where God says he made man in his own image? This ability for mothers to unselfishly sacrifice for their kids can come from no other place than from God. My mother used to make her own dresses and clothes so that she could afford to buy us kids store-bought clothes so that when we went to school, we would not feel self-conscious. I wonder how many times my mother lost sleep because she was concerned about her children. I wonder how much stress I caused my mom when I did stupid things. How much patience did my mother show when she was trying to teach me something and I wasn't picking up on the lesson? How many times did my mom get up and get out of bed and yell up at the stairs, "Kelly, it's time to get up for school!" 5 minutes later, "Kelly, you awake?" 5 minutes later, "Get out of bed!" That's not what my mom sounded like. She was much more pleasant. I think of all the times that I came down and I was grumpy because I had to go to school. And my mom may have made me biscuits and sausage gravy. And these biscuits weren't out of a can, people. These were homemade. She went to all that time and she wanted to sit down and give me a good day start to my day. And I was grumpy and selfish. And my mom didn't lash out to me, not one bit. I wonder how many lunches my mom made for me at school that I chose not to eat. And when I brought the lunchbox home that she saw that I didn't eat any of it, she didn't say anything about it. How many hours did my mom pray for me? It's unknown. This list that I have come up with cannot be completed because I've never been a mom and I just don't understand anything about being a mom. I am the most unqualified person to be talking about mothers. John 15:13 says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." I suggest to you this. Mothers are the closest thing to this than any other thing on earth. How many moms put their life on hold to raise their children? How many mothers stuff their dreams in their pockets so that they can raise their children? How many mothers do you hear of that after their children are raised and out of the house go back to college? Or go back to the profession that they had before they had children. Mothers sacrificed for their children all day long, every day until the end. Mothers somehow work all day, come home, take care of the kids, do laundry, clean the toilets, change the diapers, listen to boring stories about their husband's day at work, apply band-aids to wounds. Mothers do this even when their kids don't recognize what their moms are doing, and they don't complain about the fact the kids are taking advantage of them. They do so many things, it makes my head spin. This kind of attitude can only come from one place, and that is the Almighty God, who is worthy of our honor and our praise. I think this shows the reason why the commandment we read in Ephesians 6 and 2 is so important. Honor your father and your mother. Doing so, you are honoring God who created you. I've made this a quick sermon for a reason. Because I don't want to belabor a point, and I don't want you to lose focus of what I'm trying to tell you. Not that what I'm trying to tell you is important, but I think the examples of what God gives us are important, and to what mothers are. So before I wrap up this sermon, I want to take our minds to another incredible mother in the Bible. I'm not really sure how to pronounce her name, but I'm going to call her Jochebed. Jochebed is the mother of Moses. And if you remember Hebrews chapter 11, Moses is in the faith chapter. He's number 8. And I bring up Jochebed for encouragement purposes. I bring it up for those mothers who are struggling. I bring it up for those mothers who maybe feel all is lost. I bring it up for those mothers who are overcome with anguish because of the trial that they are faced with. But I want to bring your mind to Jochebed. She lived in a time in Egypt when Pharaoh didn't recognize Israel's God. In fact, Pharaoh loathed God's people. The more he punished them with work, the more he took away from them, the more they thrived and increased in number. In the days of Jochebed, Pharaoh made a decree that all male babies must be killed at birth. Can you even fathom such a thing? Put yourself in that time frame. What would it be like, moms? You can't hide the fact that you're pregnant. They know you're pregnant. And you know you're pregnant. And you know the end for your baby. I can't imagine being a mother or a father at that time. How could a mother witness such atrocity? Somehow, Jochebed was able to hide the fact that she was pregnant. Somehow, she was able to keep the baby alive long enough so that she could make an ark for that baby. Somehow, Jochebed was able to let her baby go into uncertainty. Somehow, that ark did not sink. Somehow that ark was not carried into a stronger current and out in the middle of the river and down the river. Somehow Moses was found in the weeds. Somehow Pharaoh's daughter had compassion on the Hebrew baby, even though she knew her father's decree. Somehow Miriam, Moses' older sister, was able to convince Pharaoh's daughter to let Jochebed nurse this baby and take care of this baby for its growing years. Somehow, Jochebed was reunited with her baby so she could take care of it and teach it about what faith really is. Who but God could have come up with this unlikely plan? Moms, we don't know what God's plan is. But I know this one thing. Spending time in prayer. I've been talking to my brother, and here I am, I'm going to belabor the point. I'm sorry. I've been talking to my brother, and he's been talking to me about the song, Sweet Hour of Prayer. And he says, Kelly, my body hurts. I wake up at 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning, and I just lay there. And I pray. I pray for an hour at least. And you know what? When I get up and go to work, I'm not tired for the rest of the day. How does that happen? I think about what God told us, that through our trials, He will give us times of refreshing. Prayer. It's so important. Being patient. Jochebed was patient. Although her answer came faster than what you think your answer is going to come, it's still going to happen. Trusting in God is all that we really can do. We can't control a single thing. All we can control is ourselves. Mothers who are in anguish, I want you to think about this. Remember that God is the original mother, and He knows how to mother you. So don't forget about Him. I heard this from one of the godliest women I know. As long as there's life, there is hope. And I think that has carried a lot of mothers through their anguish. My mom and dad raised three boys. Right here in this congregation, we sat right in that row that Tom and Fred are sitting in now. All three of us boys have left the church at one time in our life. I don't even remember why I came back. Just my brain's so foggy. But my brother Mike, he came back. And the reason why he came back is that when we lost Dad, it pricked his heart. He knew what he had to do. And even though he's fought an uphill battle because he's not equally yoked, he has still stayed strong. And I know why he came back. God had him come back because God knew I needed a man here on earth to be a good counselor for me. My brother Tony, he's not back yet. But man, he's so close. He's so close. He understands right from wrong. He's probably the most honest person I know in this world. He is so close. So if you feel inclined, help me pray for him too. We just don't know what's going to happen. Maybe you're not going to be around to see it. Those kids are going to turn out okay. I'm going to end with these thoughts. If you have a mother, or even an adopted mother, tell her you appreciate her. Even if, especially if, your relationship is rocky. You never know what a sweet word might do to soften somebody's heart. You never know where that might lead. Nobody can withstand strife very long before they become bitter. God told Cain, "Why are you angry? You've got to master it." Cain couldn't master that anger. And we understand what that ending was. We must manage our thoughts. We must remember to be kindly affectionate to one another, even if they don't reciprocate. I believe God gave us mothers so we could see a side of Him that we might not see otherwise. With that, I'm going to give the gospel invitation. If there's anyone here who has heard the word and they want to be a part of this family, they believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He is the Word. And you want to follow Him and be included in His family. We are going to give you that opportunity. If you have a problem, maybe you just need some extra help. Maybe you need some shoulders to lean on, cry on. Brothers, sisters, there is not a better group of people to tell your problems to right here. Because one thing is, even though we are not experiencing your pain, we know what pain is. And we can have compassion for you for that. So we're going to give you this opportunity as we stand and sing the invitation song.